gracious God in heaven. You've given us time to be together. We're rejoicing in the fact that we are able to come together as your family and worship you. And we thank you for it. We thank you for the time of common encouragement. We're thankful for the blessings that you give us, for bringing us through yet another week. We ask that you will be with Donnie as he leads the class, and help him to express the things you want him to take and tell us, and help our hearts be open to the things that you want to speak through your word. Thank you so much, dear Father. In the name of Jesus, amen.
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 So we are in a section of the Bible. If you don't already know, the Hebrew Bible is divided into the writings, the prophet, and the law. So the Psalms would come in the writings. In our English Bible, it's divided into what I typically remind myself, 5-12, 5-5-12, 5 law, 12 history, 5 poetry, and of course it's the Psalms is within the poetry division. The particular chapter that we are on is one of the Psalms attributed to David, and the backdrop or background of that text can be related to 1 Samuel, if you turn there with me, 1 Samuel chapter 23. And basically in this study, it brings to light the confidence in the deliverance of God, if you want to look at it that, or if you want to look at it as the Lord upholds David in his time of turmoil. And David, whoever gets it first would read for me, and it's chapter 23, verses 19 to 20. 1 Samuel chapter 23, verses 19 to 20. Provides a backdrop to.
Then the Ziphites went up to Saul at Gibeah, saying, "Is not David hiding among us in the stronghold at Horesh on the hill of Hakilah, which is south of Jishma? Now come down, O king, according to all your heart's desire, to come down, and our parts shall be surrendered to him into the king's hand."
All right. And we'll develop that a little bit further. So David is confronted within his situation. So let's have a reader from verse 1 of chapter 54 on to verse 7. Any volunteers? Wait.
"Save me, O God, by your name, and vindicate me by your power. Hear my prayer, O God, give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers have risen against me, and violent men have sought my life. They have not set God before them. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the sustainer of my soul. He will recompense the evil to my foes, destroy them in your faithfulness. Willingly I will sacrifice to you. I will give thanks to your name, O Lord, for it is good. For he has delivered me from all trouble, and my eye has looked with satisfaction upon my enemies."
All right. So David, in this psalm, is going through some emotional turmoil. And it is interesting in Brother Justin's lesson that we see some of the same turmoils or some of the same human emotions bear out in the face of adversity, in the face of turmoil. So just so that I provide some context to the text, we see the cry for help David opens the psalm by asking God for salvation and justice, showing his complete dependence on God's power. Reflects a recurring theme in the Psalms. Then, of course, we see the recognition of his enemies. So he's quite aware that his enemies, strangers, ruthless men, has fret towards his life, emphasizing the seriousness of the danger that he's in. And of course, he begins in the very first verse, and we see divine protection. David affirms God will sustain him and bring justice against his enemies. The confidence in God, God's protection and fairness encourages us as believers to trust in him and not pursuing revenge or vengeance. And then finally, he ends praise and thanksgiving. The Psalms ends with David promising to sacrifice to God and his goodness, and expresses gratitude towards God for the deliverance. So essentially, summing up the text. Now, earlier in the week, I sort of sent some questions to Justin. I'm not sure how many of you had actually looked through those questions. But what I wanted to do was to probably pick up a couple of those questions and we could discuss it, or provide your responses, we'll look at that. And typically what I typically do with any book that I'm studying, I would tend to show what the text expresses. But most importantly, how does that apply today, right? So one of the first questions that I had sent was, what situation prompted David to write the psalm? And from the text again, lifting from the text.
Just had him read it. First Samuel, yep. His advice went to Saul, yep. And told that David had went to the Nob, mm-hmm. and received relief from the priest there.
Yep.
We won't get into the fact that Saul had been murdered. But I believe that's the situation that caused David the greatest choice.
Anybody else?
He's being betrayed.
Okay. So there's threat to his life, yes?
There's an enemy that is very persistent. Somebody that really wants his head. I mean, you see in verse 20 and on. Verse 22, go make it more sure. No one see the place where his foot is, and who has seen him there, for it is told to me that he is very cunning. So therefore, take note of all the lurking place where he hides and come back to me with sure information. It's like, you know, Saul's being very thorough. And he's not letting any rock be unturned. And, you know, this is someone who has the resources to carry out this type of, you know, search for him. And so David really is sort of backed into a corner here. But it doesn't matter because he still has God. So.
Amen. All right, so very well said. So David is operating amidst threats to his head. And obviously that's creating, in his humanity, that's creating some emotional, if you will, turmoil for him in his distress. The second part says, identify verbs or phrases that describe his distress. Identify verbs or phrases that describes his distress.
Save.
Yes. Don't you just want someone to save you from your distress? And again, it goes back to the lesson this morning. When we are in those emotional turmoil, it's like, I want to get out. I want a way out. And sometimes death is you know, an option that sadly is chosen. Yes. Anybody else?
Hear.
You just want someone to hear you as you are struggling and you are emburdened by, you know, whatever it is that you're going through. Anybody else? Alright, we'll jump to... Oh, wait.
Well, I don't know if there's a word, but he wants to be vindicated. Right? He said vindicate
yes.
by your might. You know,
yes.
This idea of like wanting, almost seeking justice for what he's going through.
Right, and that's a note that I have in my response to the question. Vindicate is really a legal term. Rightly judge. So he's asking God to rightly judge in this matter. Here is this guy who's seeking his life, right? And he knows he hasn't done anything to the guy, but the guy is really persistent in, you know, in his pursuit of him. And so he's asking. So he's going to God in prayer earnestly, hear me. And we know God hears every prayer, right? That's a whole discussion in itself. But the hair there brings to light, give attention. It's not just, God, hear me, but please give earnest attention to my situation, right? So he's pleading with God, realizing, again, showing what he's going through. I love it. We'll do probably one more question. And if perhaps I had, what I'll probably try and do at the end next week is to probably give all these questions. So whenever, you know, you have some time, you can look at those questions. How does David describe God in verse 4? And what does that imply about his trust? So if we look at verse number 4, it says, behold, God is mine helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul. The CEV renders it this way. You will help me, Lord, and keep me from falling. Anybody?
Noticing that it's not a generic, yeah, God can save, or he will save us,
right?
Or he saved the nation of Israel, he will save me. He's
personal.
Caring about me, he's right there with me. You know, how personal he makes that.
Very true, very true. Yes,
this psalm tying it back to 1 Samuel 23 at the end of the chapter, it's just a very dramatic story about how David is. Been chased by Saul, and Saul has his armies around him, and one army's coming from this side of the rock, and another army's coming from the other side of the rock, and all of a sudden Saul gets a message, the Philistines are attacking it, so he has to leave David behind, but he was going to be destroyed, and so he names this place a rock of escape.
Yeah.
Maybe he's talking about this particular rock, that's where I escaped, but I like to think of him calling God. God is my rock of escape.
Amen. Amen.
I urge you. Yeah. I think it's really beautiful how he calls God his helper.
Mm-hmm.
There's different times throughout the Bible where God is referred to a helper. There's also a lot of times in scripture where we are told to be helpers. And that's a role that we're supposed to be for each other, different things like that. And I think having a helper role is sometimes maybe not as important, but I think it's amazing that God is calling. And so it's a beautiful
thing
to
think
of somebody
is
being
a helper. Very true. Anybody? Okay. I'll just do one last question, and I will kind of move towards a little application quickly. Which one do I? So how does the psalmist describe the consequence for his foes in verse 5? And what does this say about God's vindication? So how does the psalmist describe the consequence of his foes in verse 5? And what does this say about God's vindication? So in verse 5, even reading from the CEV, it says, "You will punish my enemies for their evil deeds. Be my faithful friend and destroy them." So again, the Bible speaks of God as being a just God. And even in Micah chapter 6 and verse 8, God also asks us as his people to be just, to be fair. And God in scripture has been described as such. David recognizes that God will take care of the evil ones. And it's not for him to take vengeance in his own hand. Let's look at as we bring this home to us today, and of course, to do that, we often go back to the New Testament to see what the writers in the New Testament has to say with regard to the cry for help whenever his children in this dispensation has been going through some tough times. So in 1 Peter, if you will turn there with me, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 to 12. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 to 12. It says, "Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing," I'm reading from the King James Version, "but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that he are thereunto called, that he should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from the evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it." So, verse 12, sorry. "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." So that in itself reminds us, no matter what it is that we're going through, when evil men, you know, plotting against us, we don't know why this neighbor is being so bad towards us, even though we are being good to the neighbor. We don't know why this coworker is behaving, you know, in what are ways towards us. We know for surety that God is aware and God knows. And when we come to him in our cry, in our prayers, he's going to hear us. And because he's attentive to our situation. And so we can be encouraged that irrespective of what it is like David, we are going through today. Because I maintain the things that happen with God's people then are very similar. Different dispensation, the ways that God deals with his people continues to be very much the same, because God does not change. His character does not change. God is a God of justice. God is a God who takes vengeance for his people. And so we can be encouraged by that to press on, depend on God, talk to him, let him know what's going on, you know.
I agree with you. Right after this second time that Zophites went to Saul, David had an opportunity to kill him.
He did.
Cut him off in his own truth, and he refused to.
Yeah.
He waited on God.
He would not touch God's anointing.
Exactly.
In his own way, right? His own words. Another passage we can reference, you could just make note of it, because of time I wouldn't go there, is Romans chapter 12, verses 17 to 20. You can make a note of that. As in relation to recognizing our enemy, In terms of divine protection, even today, let's go to the book of Hebrews chapter 13, and the verse is 5. It says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. That is true yesteryear. It is true even today. God is never going to leave us, nor forsake us. It may seem that way during the trials, tribulations that we are going through, that we are all alone. But God is ever present and is aware of what we are going through. So the same is true back then. The same remains. You know? Oh, Dennis?
He went past. Go ahead.
And then finally, as we said in the text, it shows that through it all, he had a sense of gratitude to praise God and give thanksgiving. And we are reminded in the same Hebrew text, 13 and 15, here it says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. So it's not when it's good, or we're praising, or when it's bad, we're not, or vice versa. Throughout, no matter what the circumstances may be, we want to be deliberate in our praise and thanksgiving and expression of gratitude towards God, which is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. All right? So no matter what it is that we're going through, we want to ensure that we do that. Moving right along, because we've got places to go. We'll move to any questions or comments before I run to 55. If not, all right, we'll jump right into 55. And again, 55, the theme is very similar in terms of what is happening in the life of David. And I'll quickly ask for readers. So from verses 1 to 5, can I get a reader? Yes, sir. Brother.
Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide thyself from my supplication. Give heed to me and answer me. I am restless in my complaint, and am surely distracted. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the pressure of the wicked, for they bring down trouble upon me, and in anger they bear a grudge against me. My heart is in anguish within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me.
All right, thank you. Let's get Sister Sophia. Can you read 6 to 10? Michelle, 15 to 20? Oh, yeah, sorry, 11 to 15. David, 16 to 20, or 16 to the end. Thanks.
As for me, I shall call upon the Lord, Yahweh will save me. Evening and morning and at noon, I will bring my complaint and moan and he will hear my voice. He will redeem my soul in peace from the battle which is against me. For there are many who strive with me. God will hear me and hear and answer them, even the one who sits enthroned from of old, because they do not change and do not fear God. My companion has put forth his hands against those who were here, who were at peace with him. He has violated his covenant. His speech was smooth than butter, but his heart was at war. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Cast your burden upon Yahweh, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be forsaken. But you, O God, will bring them down to the pit of corruption. Men of bloodshed and deceit will not live out half their days, but I will trust in you.
Man. So again, as I said, the theme running through these books are very similar, but provide a background into David's mindset is taken from 2 Samuel chapter 15 to 18, and here the story of his son pursuing him. So it's traditionally attributed to David, and it's his personal crisis during Absalom's rebellion, which sets the stage for what would David is expressing. So he highlights David's sense of betrayal by a close friend, adding emotional depth to the Psalms. The Psalm begins with David's urgent plea for God to hear him, revealing the distress and feeling of abandonment. So from verse 1 to 3, David pleads for God to hear him, expressing restlessness and fear under oppression. From verse 12 to 14, David reflects on the betrayal of a close friend, revealing the depth of his pain. And doesn't that cut deep when it's your close friend that's stabbing, right? Even within the family, as in the case of David. Verse 16 to 19, David declares his trust in God, contrasting his distress in confidence in divine justice. Again, the theme of justice and God's justice is revealed in the text. And verses 22 to 23, David urges believers, of course, to cast their burden on the Lord, emphasizing trust in God and his strength in God's deliverance. I'll take a couple questions from what I originally said. Any comments or questions before I head into the questions?
How do you put verse 22, cast your burden upon the Lord and he will sustain you? Like, that is such an explanation for how his prayers come across to you.
Yes.
Because he begins this psalm with, I'm restless in my complaint, and he wants a response. Like,
mm-hmm.
He wants God to save him because he has all these feelings and these fears are pressing on him. But by the end of the psalm, I will call upon the Lord. He has confidence that God will save him, and by giving this burden onto God, that's calming him. It's reminding him that God is here. God does hear me, and he will respond in his time. So it is amazing how just praying to God by vocalizing what's going on with you, it releases some of that burden
right.
from yourself.
That's true.
And you start to feel the immediate relief. You might not have the direct answer from God, but that is a form of answer by just, you know, feeling some
heart.
Relief from it.
Amen. Beautiful. Yes.
Along the lines of some of the verses specifically that Meredith just mentioned, I appreciate so much that the Psalms are not just the trust in God part, but they include phrases like, I'm restless in my mind. Because that just hits home sometimes. We can identify with that so much. We get to see David or whoever the author mindset and then how they work through that and how they remind themselves of who God is and trust in Him. It's not just an end statement, which is critical. It's the journey that gets there that helps us later to relate to this and remember ourselves how to deal with when we're feeling restless and everything else.
A couple things. Different men. David had a feeling of being terrified, being afraid. It led me to think that different men of the Bible handled that quite differently. Elijah ran. Jeremiah held fast. Okay. So that David did it his way, I'm not sure. But he said, destroy the Lord and divide their tongues. And I came to the conclusion that you did, that they were talking about him running from Absalom. Only because 2 Samuel 17 tells us that there was a division among Absalom's advisors. Okay, and that kind of gave David time to get away. So I believe that's what he meant when God did divide their tongues. If that makes sense to you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anybody else before? Yes.
There are two things that struck me out of this. Number one, how honest the writer here is with God. Not trying to act big, strong, or anything. Just, this is how I feel. You know, even when it comes down, like, I want you to destroy this guy. You know, I really don't like him. You know, he just, even though we've read the verses, don't return evil for evil, but he's being really honest with God. This is how I feel. And the second thing is just, it raises an awareness, these verses raises awareness that a lot of times I don't really trust God because in the case of David, you know, somebody's after his life. And that's a big thing, and you can see that. But we tend to limit God's power into small things. I don't want to talk to God about, I hope I have a good day today and do my presentation well. I've lost something here, Lord, and I don't know where I put it at. And just all these, like, almost like, I don't want to either bother you with that, or, you know, this is something that I shouldn't bring. But, you know, you can bring it all to God, because God's concerned about the big things, as well, the small things as well as the big things.
Amen. A point to which I think Brother Tim made, that ever since I was a child, I became a Christian at the age of 12. But what has always stood out to me in the Bible is the humanity of God's people. The Bible doesn't hide the humanity of Moses. It doesn't hide the humanity of David and the falling, the failing, the mistakes, how they view things at moments in times in their lives, and how they overcome. And I think that's very telling, that as I live my life, to know that, hey, mistakes are gonna happen, things are gonna happen, but if I can just press on, if I can just be thankful, if I can just show gratitude, if I can be humble, you know, and it gives me a reason for believing that, you know, as David himself said, a righteous man will fall seven times. Because that's all humanity. And, you know, that's something that we see. And sometimes when we look at the text and the way that certain things are stated in the Psalms, it's like, whoa, really? Does a man of God speak that way? Well, at moments in times, we do. But you know what? God understands. Because we are human, He's God.
Yeah, it's similar to what, you know, Brother Noah said. It's amazing to see the level of relationship that David had with God. Like, he could go before his father and just talk to him, and like, he would be your father, and just express him and everything that was on his mind. Even so much, he tells God, you know,
but I have seen violence and tremendous to me. So he was like, you know, asking God basically to get rid of them, to kill them. And it also is like, God wants some mysterious ways to how his spirit moves. Because this morning, Brother Justin's lessons on death, and then in verse, in chapter 55, I think how we sing here, he's saying, my heart is so pain within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror have overwhelmed me. So it kind of ties in with Brother Justin's lesson. It's always so amazing to me how God's spirit works in, and how the lesson.
Let's take two couple questions from what I sent. It says in verse 1 and 2, what steps does David take to address his distress, and what does this indicate about his approach to prayer? So what steps does David take to address his distress, and what does this indicate about his approach to prayer? Anyone?
He prays to God.
He prays to God.
To address his distress.
To address his distress. Anybody else? Okay, so David prays to God earnestly, pleading with God for an answer. All right, so he's earnestly going to God, looking for that. Who are the fierce ones and treacherous ones in the Psalms? And why might betrayal feel especially painful to David? And of course, the text says, of my friends, my confidence. Again, as I said in verse 12 and 15, it's okay if it's a quote-unquote an enemy. It's somebody from outside. But in my own house, in my own family, that hurts. In the church, my brother, that hurts. So when stuff like that happens, you know, among friends, family, it hurts even, it cuts even deeper, as they would say. And that was his struggle. That can be your struggle as well. I've seen so many over the years, brethren leave the church because they were hurt by somebody in the church, somebody that they were close to. You know, a brother, a sister. And so it happens. But again, we can learn in David's experience, David does not drift away from God, but he gets closer to God, recognizing that God is the source. God can help him in this moment while he's experiencing those difficult times in his life.
I find it deep. He said, I have seen violence and strife in the city. Destruction is in its midst. And the way I study the Bible, I always want to know, what's going on here? Who's doing this? Is it Absalom, as you said earlier? Then he said, for it is not an enemy who reproaches me, I can bear it. But it is you, a man, my equal, my companion, my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together, went to the house of God, and as you said, is very much easier to deal with outside influence, you know, being attacked from outside than from your own family. And I'm wondering, who do you think, what situation do you think anyone here thinks David is talking about? I'm still not sure, I realize.
We forgot to.
What biblical situation is he speaking of here? Is it Absalom's rebellion? And violence in the street at this point?
Well, yeah, because.
I'm wondering.
Because remember, at the time when he moved that revolution against his father, there was tension, right? Right, because eventually he was appointed king. David basically was on the run.
Right.
But obviously, we know Joab finished his job. And David, of course, wasn't very happy with what how it all went down. And again, it begs the question sometimes, David's mindset, right? And again, the fact that the Bible keeps saying over and over that he had the heart of God. Because although his son was pursuing him, his son wanted him, yet still when his son died,
he had a soft spot for his children.
So, still, I think that plays a vital part in terms of what the writer describes in this case. Alright, quickly, we'll take one quick other question from what I had. It says in verses 16 and 17, presents a shift in mood or action. What changes and what practice does David emphasize for a steady faith? All right, so what we can see in there is his reliance in God and recognizing God as his redeemer, because God is able to save. God is able to redeem, and again, it's just a matter of really relying on God. I had it in the previous question, because we talked about David's humanity and how he goes through the anguish and pain and so on. So, but because of time, we won't go through that. Before I jump to chapter 56, any comments? As it relates to that. Yes.
There was a commercial a long time ago. It was about some anti-acid that you're called Rolaids. And the question was asked, how do you spell relief? And they would spell out Rolaids.
Okay.
But a preacher grabbed a hold of that and he says, you know the way that Christians spell relief? Belief. And that always has stuck with me. You know, and that's kind of what he's expressing here. You know, that's how he spells relief, is belief in God.
Amen. So, in summary of the text, it's a powerful reminder of the pain of betrayal and distress. It urges us as believers to turn to God in prayer, trust in his justice and deliverance. While reflecting David's personal anguish, the psalm also offers a lasting wisdom for anyone seeking help in a time of deep hurt. All right, as we jump to chapter 56, again, the background of chapter 56, we can see from 1 Samuel chapter 21, verses 10 to 15. Any quick reader, 1 Samuel chapter 21, verses 10 to 15. All right, if not, because of time, make a note of that. That's the backdrop from what we're going to be looking at. And the key themes in that short chapter is, again, trusting God, David stresses the importance of trusting in God. When I'm afraid, I'll put my trust in you, O God. And that can be referenced in Psalms 56, verses 1. We also see God's protection. The psalm highlights God's protection and faith, assuring believers of the presence, his presence in difficult moments. And it is important to note that while we are going through whatever difficulties that we are, God is ever present as we're going through that. So quickly reading through, it says, reading from the Old King James, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. The fighting daily oppresses me. My enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me. O thou most high, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they wrest my word. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps. They wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In their anger I cast down the people of God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put my tears in thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Will thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" I kind of smiled at the way the author expressed what David basically is asking of God, putting his tears in a bottle. What do you think about those description of what David is asking of God? Anyone?
Wants God to know his sorrows.
Definitely want God to know how intense his sorrow is. And his calling to what they are, right? Anybody else? Tears are plentiful. And what usually creates tears? Well, one of the things that could create tears: sorrow and grief.
He was facing hard times. The title tells us he was captured by the Philistines.
Mm-hmm.
If you read that scripture, we know that he had to play crazy to get away. So the Philistines are chasing him. Saul is chasing him. At this point, then, unless I'm mistaken, he hadn't got to the cave of Abdullah yet, so he's alone. He's all by himself, and then he has enemies everywhere. So that will cause you to be, sorrowful, but he cried out to God, which is, I guess, the correct answer. God saved me. Hello? Help me.
Yep. Reading from the CEV, verse 8, it says, "You have kept record of my days of wandering. You have stored my tears in a bottle and counted each of them." So, just showing how mindful God is of the situation that he's in. He knows, and he recognizes God knows, right? And because, again, as the chapter sums up, he's mindful to offer praise to God. We have maybe like 5 minutes. Was there any? Yes. Going back to all humanity, right? the text that background of the text, I'm often amazed. He presents that. He knows God is in control. God knows what he's going through. But here it is, we see in this case, he takes on the person of a crazy man. Which allows him to escape. And you're wondering, if I know, God is gonna lead me out of whoever the enemy is. Here I'm in the hands of the enemy, the possibility exists, might. And he decides to behave, which is deceitful, right? But it worked, and he escapes, right? You know, again, I often look at these things and I say, you know, whichever way you went, you say, well, it was sinful for him to deceive the king like that. And we can take it whichever way that we want, knowing that he knew God was able to, and we can reason. But again, I always default to the fact that it just shows we are human. And things happen, but God, once we have the right attitude, meaning that we are penitent, we are humble, I think God can overlook all of that because we are not divinity, but humanity. Brother.
The thing that seemed to be unique in this one, in the previous psalm, somebody's after me, Lord, save me. Or this disaster is getting ready to happen, save me, Lord. Or, you know, I've sinned, you know, save me, Lord. But in this one, you just kind of be, this is how I feel. And I think about, how often do I just stop and say, God, you know, I feel sad, or I feel happy, or I feel, you know, just put out the field, just confess, this is how, you know, what's I'm feeling right now. You know, that's just really being honest and being intimate with God.
Yeah. Are there any final comments? Because I know this, they are at the door.
Yeah.
If not, again, thank you for your participation. Appreciate it. Next week we'll continue with another 3 chapters, and then someone else will come along. At this time, let's go to God in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your word that we are admonished by and we are encouraged by. When we look at the characters of the Bible, we look at the life of David, and we trust that we can emulate some of those beautiful attributes and characters as we live our lives that would help us in our faith and walk with you. May you forgive us for the time that we have fallen short. Help us, dear God, to continue to look to you as the author and finisher of our faith. Help us to trust in you and to believe in you, and that belief to help in our actions. Continue to fortify our faith in you, and help us, dear God, as we go through the day. May you grant us traveling mercies to our various destinations. For this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.